Hey, here we go, Alex Pardo, and I'm coming at you with episode 468 here on the Flip Empire Show. My friend, I want to take just a few minutes to share with you an opportunity where you and I can potentially get together to work on your real estate investing business to help get you unstuck, to do so in an environment of other successful, like-minded real estate investors and in a world-class setting. So if that has piqued your interest in any way, I want you to just take a few minutes to listen to what I have to say. So, you know, being born and raised in Miami, my family and I have always visited and spent some time in the Florida Keys. In fact, it's one of my favorite places in the world. And, you know, just in July, I spent my 40th birthday there with my family. We rented a nice house on the water, and I was talking to my wife and I said, you know, I'd love to share this with the right group of people. And I got to thinking, and so what I have decided to do is I am going to be renting a beautiful house on the water with a pool, and I'm going to host the first Flip Empire experience at this house. It's going to be for a very small, select group of people. It's going to be very intimate, probably somewhere between 8 and 12 people max, if that at all. And I just want to take an opportunity to share this with you. So if you have any interest at all in getting together with like-minded individuals, people that are going to walk alongside you, people that are going to hold you accountable, people that have already achieved a certain level of success in their business, you know. So if you're just getting started in this business, if you haven't done any deals, I really appreciate you. I love the fact that you're listening to this podcast, wanting to learn and to grow, but this is not for you. So this first Flip Empire experience is going to be, if you've already done deals, if you've already, if you're already making money and you want to, you know, as they say, take it to another level, and you want to do so, you want to network with the right people, you want to go deep on what's working, what's not working, and help you get unstuck, essentially, remove any roadblocks or barriers that are preventing you from getting to, you know, from where you are today to where you want to go. And you want to do so in a place where people aren't going to judge you and people are just going to, like, you know, help you essentially, help you get from where you are to where you want to go. And in some cases, it might be even something on the personal side that's masking itself as a business challenge, but it's actually a personal challenge. But if you see the value in that and you want to do so with the right people, in the Florida Keys, in an amazing location, and you wanna experience what this is all about, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to head over to flipempire.com/private. There's gonna be a very, very short web form there. And that's gonna essentially start the process where you and I can connect and see if ultimately this is the right fit. I will tell you, there is going to be an investment involved. It's not going to be anything crazy, $20,000, $25,000. It's not going to be anything like that. But if you're already doing deals and if you know there's another level, if you know there's an opportunity where getting together in an inspiring location with the right people and just essentially removing anything that's preventing you from getting to where you want to go and help you accomplish your goals, head over to flipempire.com/private. And that's going to jumpstart the process essentially of us connecting and seeing if you are the right fit for the first Flip Empire experience that I'm going to be hosting. Really, really looking forward to it. Again, if you think this is for you, there's no commitments, no obligations. Just take a few minutes to fill out the web form, and you and I will connect on a call. I'll answer any questions you have, and ultimately determine if this would make sense for both of us. So, head over to flipempire.com/private, and if that's you, I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
My friend, back to another masterclass here, and I got a cool one for you. So as you're about to hear in the show, I had the opportunity to speak at a real estate investors coaches event in Birmingham, Alabama, not too long ago. And the gentleman that I'm about to have on the podcast actually spoke right after me, and so we struck up a conversation and a friendship, you know, during that event. And I realized that we have a very similar mindset, and we have a very similar approach to wealth building. We have a very similar mindset when it comes to, you know, having a vision for your life and then making sure that the business is meant to support that lifestyle. And we have similar beliefs about a desire to impact and help others. And so I wanted to have them on the show here because These guys are just very passionate about achieving financial freedom, and more importantly, about helping others, helping you achieve financial freedom. So we have a very in-depth conversation about their journey to achieving financial freedom, and now how they're going about helping others do the same. And one of the things that we talk about in this show that we kind of dive into, that, you know, 468 episodes in, we I don't believe we've broached this subject, is how to leverage the infinite banking concept to generate passive income and to build generational wealth. This is a strategy that these guys have been leveraging for over a decade. And so I asked them some questions that I had on my mind and questions that I think you'd want to know. And it's just it's a pretty powerful strategy and something that we dive in. And in fact, one of the things that these guys were so generous in giving is they actually have a free course, No Strings Attached, where that goes a lot deeper into the infinite banking concept. So I want to introduce you to my new friends, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray. These guys are pretty awesome. Again, Joey has five daughters, five girls, and then Russ has three daughters and one boy. So these guys have their hands full. They're passionate about living their desired lifestyle, spending a lot of time with family, and that's really, guys, what this business is meant to do. And that's why we're, you know, so many people are focused on generating passive income, and they want money to work for them. Is not so much to just make money. The money is just a tool, right? It's a tool so that we can have the freedom and flexibility to do what we want with who we want, when we want, how we want, and all that good stuff, right? I know for me, it's spending time with my family and being able to just have choices. And same thing for Russ and for Joey. And so, again, we have a very similar mindset. I think you guys are going to enjoy this episode, get a lot out of it. So without further ado, let's hop into episode 467 with Russ and Joey. Russ, Joey, gentlemen, how are you?
Good, man. Thanks, Alex, for having us on the show. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. I am looking forward to it, guys. So just to give the audience some context here, I met you guys about a month or so ago in Birmingham, Alabama, which is where you guys are located, right?
That's right, man. The metropolis.
There you go. So a mutual friend of ours, Brian Tripp, was hosting his annual REI coaches event, and it was a phenomenal event. And one of the reasons I always make it a point to get out to three or four events a year is so that I can meet guys like you, right? People that are just, you know, big thinkers that are impacting the world, that desire more out of their life and want to help others. And you know, you guys spoke, I believe, right after I had the opportunity to speak, and I really connected with your guys' story. I was sharing with you before we went, you know, we started recording here, is that I think we have the same mindset. And there's a lot of, we're very much aligned in how we think and how we approach things, from me listening to your podcast, Wealth Without Wall Street, listening to you guys speak at that event. So absolute pleasure to have you guys on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was a tough act to follow you. I mean, you had like 5 minutes to prepare. You came out and blew everybody's socks off. Now everybody's starting a podcast from that group because of you. I mean,
I don't know about that, but I appreciate the words. Thank you, guys. Well, so why don't we do this? There's so many things I want to cover in this episode, and obviously we don't have a ton of time. I want to learn more about you guys and specifically your journey to financial freedom. Obviously, Wealth Without Wall Street, you guys have a podcast, you guys have a community that you've built. You were just sharing with me before we recorded here the app that you guys have built. You have over 3,200 members, I believe, and you cover so many things as far as generating passive income and ultimately helping people achieve financial freedom, from real estate to e-com and everything in between. So kind of share with me, you know, when did your journey to want to achieve financial freedom, when did that begin?
Well, I'll kind of start off, Alex. I was in the mortgage business for 11 years. And throughout that time, I was able to make a lot of money, a lot of income. And I'd look back at the end of the year and I'd be like, okay, I don't have a lot to show for it, though. Like, income, active income, doesn't necessarily equal financial freedom, because my lifestyle increased as my income increased. I was staying out of debt for the most part, but I wasn't really truly seeing any freedom. In fact, and I may have shared this at that event, it was actually taking me further and further and further away from what I would say was the most important to me, right? Which was my family. Mm-hmm. And I had kind of this wake up call in 2008, 2009. I started thinking, okay, there's got to be a better way. And I worked for one of the world's leading banks at the time. So I had all these different financial instruments available to me, but none of them really seemed to give me a path that made any sense. Mm-hmm. And that's actually whenever I met Russ. We were actually friends at church first. And then he said, man, you know, I've got some clients that I'm working with that I want to start referring you. And I'm like, okay, well, sure. I'll go to lunch with you. That sounds great. And then he handed me this book and he said, but in order for me to refer you, you have to read this book. I'm like, okay, sweet. And he's like, it's going to be $20. And I'm like, dude, usually if you're going to ask me to read something, like you just give it to me, you know, but you're going to charge me $20. I mean, okay. Come on. But I did. And I'm grateful because that was like a really, really small price to pay for my life being changed and turned upside down for the better. It started to really make sense on what path I needed to go down. And I started implementing all the things that Russ was teaching me at the time. He was my financial coach, if you will.
Okay.
And 4 years later, I had made dramatic changes. My family's future was incredibly affected. And so my wife was pregnant with our fourth daughter at the time. And I went to her after going to one of the conferences with Russ. I was like, you know what? You know how I make over $300,000 a year doing this mortgage thing? I'm really good at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm being called out of that. And I need to go and have impact in people's lives doing what Russ and I have been doing the last 4 years together. And I was a little bit worried, you know, she was going to slap me, like, wake up, you fool, like, you make tons of money. Mm-hmm. But instead, her response was, Joey, you absolutely should do this.
Wow.
And I mean, right out of the gate. So it gave me all the confidence in the world that this is exactly the path I was supposed to walk down.
Joey, before we kick it over to Russ, because Russ, I definitely want to hear your side of the story as well. I have to ask you two quick follow-up questions. Number one, sure. What was the book that Russ gave you that he charged you $20 for? I have to know.
That was Become Your Own Banker by R. Nelson Nash.
Got it. And we'll definitely talk about infinite banking concept, IBC. So we'll talk about that at some point here later on the show. Yeah. The second question is, you know, I think about, I have a lot of admiration for people that step out on a limb. And I think that's what all entrepreneurs do. You took it to a whole nother level because you said it with your fourth girl. You now have five girls, which, by the way, that could be a whole separate podcast between Russ having four kids, you having five and running a successful business. I mean, we could do a whole nother podcast on that. But you're making $300,000 a year. You're about to have your fourth child. What was it about what you had been learning from Russ that just prompted you to say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and just get that 300 grand a year, that the safety, which is what a lot of people feel and think, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this with Russ.
Well, I think inherently, Alex, like my faith is really what drives me. And I see like our time on earth is so limited. Mm-hmm. We have very little time to work with. And so everything to me is about impact. Right. It's not necessarily about the money. It's about how much can what I have to do with my time. How can I best use it to impact the most people? Now, I was an excellent mortgage, you know, loan officer and then branch manager at the time. And I did a great job and people, you know, it was not a bad thing. But once I realized that, man, our world has taught us things about money that just aren't true. Uh-huh. And are not helping people to gain freedom. They're actually putting them in prison. I was like, I need to help people see that there's a lot more to this. And I looked around the room, actually at that conference that we were at, and there was only about 300 people in the room. And this is an international conference, like North America, all different places, people that are certified to do this. And I said, there's just not enough people talking about this. Wow. And then it was kind of like, you know, God was putting his thumb in my back. He's like, well, why don't you do it? And I'm like, well, because I have to give up a cushy career that I'm doing well in. But it was, again, it was that calling that, man, there's so many more people that need to hear this. And I've been kind of entrusted with this knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, what am I going to do with it?
I mean, incredible example of just being a good steward, not just with your, you know, people talk about being a good steward of money, right? You were being a good steward with your talent. So Appreciate you sharing that. Russ, I'd love to hear your version of this story, man, and your journey to financial freedom.
Yeah, well, the real story is that he knew he could do it better than I could, Alex. He gives this sob story. The reality is, like, behind the scenes, he's like, you suck at this. Move out of the way. Let me take charge. But it's fun, man, because we all come from different backgrounds, but we're all seeking a lot of the same things. We just don't necessarily know how to get there. An old mentor of mine would say that you can borrow information or you can pay retail for it. And I think early on, I was borrowing information, but the reality is I was paying retail because I was doing everything the hard way, the long way, and a lot of times the wrong way. And I started out as a typical financial advisor. I was helping people manage money. I was setting up IRAs, 401ks, mutual fund investing, all the typical stuff that if you've ever talked to a financial advisor, that was who I was. And when the market crashed in 2008, I was there like with my hands, palms to the sky saying, what happened? Why did it happen? What's going to keep it from happening again? And nobody that I sought advice from at the time could really give me that answer. And I'm just one of those, I don't like uncertainty. I don't think anybody does, but I'm the one, if we're going to get in the car together, I'm going to be like, you mind if I drive? Right? it doesn't matter what it is. Like I want to be in control of whatever that is. And being a financial advisor, I realized how quickly I didn't know anything about what was happening and what was going to prevent it from happening again. And I happened to be at a different conference. We talk about conferences and the people we meet and the things that we learn. And I totally agree, Alex, like some of the best money I've ever spent is the money I invested in myself and traveling and then meeting people that who have forever impacted my life, but just thousands upon thousands of lives that I've been able to reach through this podcast, yours and ours and other mediums. And I was there. I heard this guy that the book that he was referring to, the author was there at the time. He's in his late 70s, economist, and he's talking about this idea of keeping access to our cash and then investing in things that we know, which was just the opposite of what I had been teaching people, right? I was teaching people to not have access to their cash and invest in things they didn't know anything about. And that's why they needed somebody like me. And so I was like really challenged by this concept. And it was like going completely against the grain of everything that I had professionally trained to learn how to do. And it was so eye-opening to me as I kind of took a step back and I kind of looked at my clients and I saw the ones who were the most successful, the Pareto principle, that 20% does 80% of the work kind of thing.
Right.
And I was looking at the ones who were the most successful. And the reality is they were giving me like 20% of their money because 80% of their money was in businesses and real estate and other things that were generating cash flows. And I thought, that's exactly what is being taught in that book, is that these guys are investing in what they know and they're keeping access and keeping what their goal close to them. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to be sharing this with Joey along the way. And thankfully he did come to work with us. His wife didn't say, what are you doing to our family? And you don't do that ever again. Don't ever speak of this again. And it ultimately led he and I to starting out and starting Wealth Without Wall Street. And changing from being a local, regional kind of base group where we were talking with people kind of in the Birmingham, Alabama, Southeast region to where we started a podcast and instantly started working with people all over the U.S.
Yeah, well, incredible. I mean, obviously, it sounds like both of you guys had like that defining fork in the road moment, and for you, Russ, I think about how challenging it must have been, how, you were operating a business a certain way and you had this belief system about, people entrusting their money to you and, and yet now this concept, this infinite banking concept kind of flipped that on its head. And it would have been very easy for you to just kind of keep going down the road you were going versus, so it sounds like both of you made critical, like life changing, life altering decisions. And obviously it was for the better. And I love the fact that you guys are servants. It's clear to me. When we met in Birmingham at that event and listening to you guys now, your stories, it doesn't surprise me that when I see successful people, it's because they've put others others' needs ahead of their own, and that they realize by serving others, that's ultimately the greater good, and that's how you're going to get everything that ultimately you want. So, you know, people listening to this show, obviously real estate investors, entrepreneurs, Russ, you talk about wanting to like take control of the wheel, right? Like you want control, you don't want uncertainty. For you guys, and this is kind of a general question, and maybe we can start to hone in from there. How do people start to create and achieve financial freedom? Most of the people listening to this show are in real estate. Many of them are on the transactional side of the business, whether it's wholesaling, whether it's fix and flip. Many have rental portfolios. Some are involved in lending and commercial real estate, et cetera. But there's so many shiny objects. There's so many directions that people can go in. Talk to us about like the starting point in your opinion, and how do we like commit and decide to something and then build out a plan to achieve financial freedom so we don't kind of get caught in that like rat race of our business.
Yeah. Well, I'll give a kind of a conceptual idea and I'll let you apply the practical if that's all right. So for me, I think about this and Alex, you know, neither one of us really live in ski regions, but I'm planning a ski trip right now. So like skiing's okay. Like top of my mind, right? But I don't know if you've ever been skiing, but if you ever have, like one of the biggest fears that people have is not being able to stop. Mm-hmm. And what they translate that into is lack of control, right? If you're coming down the mountain on these two sticks and you're going, you know, at a faster rate of speed, every foot that you go, you want to be able to stop and know that you can stop. Well, the thing that you have to be able to learn then is how to turn, how to actually move your skis in a position that actually will allow you to stop, because you can do the wrong thing and actually make yourself go faster. Uh-huh. Well, that is what I think that we all have to start from. We have to start from how do I learn how to actually take control over the things that are in my control? And again, and in the ski analogy, the skis are connected to our feet. We are actually in control of our legs. So we have the ability to stop at any time we want to. We just have to know. And then also we have to overcome our fear of, you know, sometimes in the moment we quit thinking. And our focus actually is much more important than intelligence. One of our business coaches was saying that in a video I was just watching, that focus is much more important than intelligence. So I would say the first part is understanding that we are in control and we just have to focus on what we want to do. So Joe, you want to like share kind of our process?
Yeah.
One of the things that we would say that to help with that?
Yeah, I was going to say, so Alex, even before we got started, you shared a little bit about your journey. And then I've read a little bit on your bio as well. And we were in Birmingham as well together. And to me, I feel like what most people's journey look like to financial freedom is they get really frustrated with where they're at. And then they try to find a vehicle to get them out of it, but they haven't really identified or clarified what does financial freedom look like. They just know they got to get out of pain. Whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're stuck in a 9-to-5 or you're constantly having to travel and you don't want to travel, you're just like, I just need to put this fire out, right? Whatever it takes. And so that we kind of replace one job with something else and maybe paying us more, but it still didn't really provide financial freedom. And your question was, you know, how do people take the steps and what's the journey to financial freedom? Our process, we've learned over the process of bumping our own head against the wall and doing things the wrong way in some cases, but it's to start with clarity. Yeah. The very first step, and we're still even figuring out personally like how to best equip people with this, mm-hmm. but it's to kind of bring the future to the present. And I know just hearing you guys talk about your Ascend Mastermind, you've really done that because you've brought together personal development. You've brought together business acumen and growing in your own business. But it's also about the freedom that that business creates. It's not necessarily about, you know, the nuts and bolts of this business. If you know all those nuts and bolts, now all of a sudden it's freedom. In many cases, if you're not clear on what you want. And so we're actually in our masterclass right now with our students. We're actually going through that process of creating clarity. So we're logging our time every day. We're saying, does this day look like our ideal day? Right? How far off are we from our ideal day? And you can look down it and be really pissed
now. And
like,
I would
this
say,
is looks like nothing like it.
So the practical part of what he's saying there, Alex, is that most of us have the control to be able to like literally track what we're doing in the day, but we don't. And so, because we're busy, right? And busyness keeps us from focusing on the thing that we should be focused on. So we have our students right now, we're in a 5-day challenge with them, and literally they're just tracking what they do. When did I wake up? What did I do next? What did I do next? All the way out through the, until they go to sleep. And the goal is at the end of this 5 days, one is for them to just see it on paper, right? And it's the same thing that translates to money. Like if people actually knew where they spent their money, they would probably make different decisions.
Totally.
But they don't know where they spent it. So they're blind. They put everything on a credit card and they pay the bill at the end of the month, but they never look at the line items to see where it went. And the same thing's true with our day, because what's really more important? Are we seeking passive income? Are we seeking the result of passive income? Are we seeking what the passive income will give us, which is time?
Great point.
So if we're not actually tracking time, how do we know what we want, as Joey said, in an ideal day? And how do we know if we're getting closer to it? Are we getting further away? And so one of the things we're going to be doing with our masterclass at the end of this 5 days is we're going to go back and have them we're actually going to have them categorize their time and put it in 4 categories. One, is it focused? 2, is it wasted? 3, is it congruent? Or 4, is it dissonant? So we're going to have them actually do that and then put it on a chart to help them see where is the majority of their time being spent. Is it in areas that are focusing closer to where they want to be and congruent with what they hope to have? Or are they wasting it? And is it completely dissonant to what their whole goals and objectives are?
I love the fact that you guys, and I want to kind of underscore, you guys just shared 2 practical things that people can do. And if you just take nothing away from this podcast, but you take this away, it would have been well worth the time that you've invested to listen. Is, you know, by the way, guys, I was kind of chuckling, Joy, when you were talking, because Steve and I take our members through the same, like a very similar process. Like, and it always starts with getting clear about what you want. And that's what people like fail to understand. It's their... They're too much looking at social media and what their parents want or what their spouse wants, but what do they want? Because we only get one crack at this thing called life, as cliche as that sounds.
Yep.
Right. And so I love the fact that you guys start with, hey, get clear on what it is you want. And you talked about your ideal day. That's one of the exercises we have take people through, like, what does an ideal day look like for you? If without regards to money or possessions, like if you could just do anything, what would you do? So, and the second thing is you talked about tracking your time. Can you highlight a little bit more like the importance, like what's the clarity that's gained after a week of logging and time tracking where people are spending their time? What typically happens from that point forward?
Well, I think 2 things happen. One, you're aware that, in fact, we actually call it the time awareness log, because that's exactly what you're doing. You're just becoming aware of where the time is going. And number 2, it shows you the opportunities to then take your idea and start to make it reality. Okay. Yeah. For instance, let's say that you recognize, man, every night I'm spending an hour and a half doing nothing. I'm scrolling Facebook. I'm watching a movie. I'm just, you know, Netflix, whatever it may be. And if I truly want my day to change, I need to start investing that hour to take a course, you know, to get involved in a group that are going to surround me with the right people who are pushing me to financial freedom, not, you know, my Facebook feed, who's not doing any of that, right? Right. So it's going to bring those things to the forefront. And now you recognize how far off you are from your ideal day. And you say, I'm not satisfied with that. Right. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at today. Mm-hmm. How do I get to this ideal day? And I have to start investing those minutes and those hours to get to that.
Well, and what we see is that people will take that time and then they will actually be able to block their time. I mean, this is, again, these are like age old ideas, but are just never, this is the diet and exercises of being able to control our time. It always works, but you have to know where you're spending it. And then you can say, okay, I see how much time in my day I spend traveling. I see how much of my time in my day I spend just at work having to do these mundane tasks, whatever those tasks are. But then I also see all of this flex time of where, as Joey said, maybe I'm wasting it. I'm not doing the things that I really want. Now, wasting time is fun and fine is if that's what you decided to do.
Correct. Okay. It's a conscious choice. Exactly.
Exactly. But a lot of times that is not conscious. We just burn it because we don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. So what we see is that people can then take their ideal day and actually plan it based upon reality, right? Because as you said, what would you want to be doing? That's one thing. And that's way out in the distance. We're going to have to be working in stairs to get there. And so we put this first step that's closer to what their ideal day looks like. And they actually have reality in front of them because they know what their time looks like, so they can block it. So then when they come to that time, I relate it to when we were in, you know, school, right? And the bell rang, we finished doing whatever we were doing and we moved on to the next class. Yeah. We knew what the next class was and we moved on to it. Well, how do we do that as entrepreneurs? Do we use our day and organize it in a way that we're moving closer and closer and we know what's going to happen? Or do we allow things to just keep running and then at the end of the day go, man, I really didn't get a whole lot done, and we constantly have this pressure of all the things that need to get done tomorrow because I didn't get them done today. That's right. And so what we see is this time awareness allows them to schedule their ideal day, at least a portion or step toward it, and then be able to actually achieve it. And that achievement then frees up, as Joey says, time that they're blocking toward the things that they want to be doing.
That's right. It's a kind of a pet peeve of mine, just to be totally transparent. You know, when I talk to people and they kind of fall back on the excuse that they've been telling people for years is, I don't have time. And what I challenge them with is, do an exercise like this and you'll realize that in that bucket, in that category of wasted time, if you're honest with yourself, you're going to find that you can gain back hours every single week. If not, in some cases, you can gain back hours a day. And it's very easy. I don't know if you guys have seen The Social Dilemma, how these social media apps have been created to basically suck our time and attention away from like reality, away from our lives. And they've done an amazing job of doing it. So I've been guilty myself of just scrolling and you look up and 20, 30 minutes are gone and you're like, I didn't even realize it, right?
Yeah.
But to your point, it's that awareness. Do you guys find with the students that you guys coach and work with and the entrepreneurs that people get distracted by the shiny object syndrome because there's so many ways to achieve financial freedom? There's so many ways to generate that passive income, that holy grail that everybody's after, that people end up becoming a jack of all trades, a master of none. How do you guys, like, what's your mindset on that? And how do you talk to your students about it?
Well, I think it goes back to, and again, I don't want to keep beating the drum on clarity, mm-hmm. but once you've really gotten clear, what I'll say is this, the shiny object syndrome takes over when there is no clarity. Because it's always like, oh, well, I think I like passive income and that sounds like a cool idea. Let's go after it. But if you never stopped and said, wait a minute, my ideal life looks like this, and you start, our business coach, actually, he specifically says, what are the characteristics that life looks like, right? Well, I'm spending 3 hours in the afternoon helping my kids homeschool, and I'm also taking them out for a jog, or we're going out to the park or whatever. And then in the morning, I'm spending 3 hours helping with breakfast with the kids, and I'm spending quality time with them, and I'm working out, I'm spending time in God's word. Like I'm laying out, what does it look like? And then I hold up to that these different opportunities.
Uh-huh.
That's where I filter everything through. But if I've never taken that step and drawn out, what does that life look like? Then anything sounds cool, right? Man, short-term rentals. Oh, that sounds super cool. I mean, who doesn't want to be, you know, making $800 per unit or $1,600 on a two-bedroom? Like, that sounds great.
Yeah.
But if you realize that that's going to take you away from that life that you wanted to create, it's not a good idea for you. It doesn't matter how lucrative it is, right? And I would say for us, I mean, I'm just going to tell you, you know, openly, what Russ and I have done is because we've learned that. And I share with you, I gave up over $300,000 career, since tripled that income and been able to look back on it and say, but wait a minute, am I getting closer to the life I wanted to create? Uh-huh. And the answer was, actually, it's starting to take back over and I'm starting to take away time from my kids and my family. And that's the stuff I can't get back.
Yeah.
So what do I need to start doing? I need to get really clear. And that's where our whole process came from, is from Russ and I saying, okay, no, we're not going to just fall prey to our calendar and our life telling us and dictating to us. I'm going to dictate to it and then only do the things that make sense to support that. And so that's where we take control as our next step. Yeah. Then we create these passive income streams. And then finally, we're looking at that cherish step where we're going to cherish the life that we've created. Mm-hmm. And then start looking at some higher level things like estate planning and things like that.
But, well, and I would say too, as a practical, Alex, from a helping you avoid the shiny object syndrome, because I will be the first to say this is definitely a vice of mine. This is that one thing that I am struggling with, and I keep praying that, man, this is going to leave me, and I'm not going to want to follow the next business and idea. But it comes back to understanding who you are. And I think there's so few people that truly have thought about the way that they're built and apply their investing and work toward that. Mm-hmm. And so we take people through a process called an investor DNA, okay, where we've worked with the company, the behavior science group, DISC. And most people maybe have taken a personality test from DISC before, but we worked with them in order to build a financial DISC model that would help people analyze the way they think about investing and the way they think about money. And then take and shape that information to help give them guidance. Because I would say, you know, it's okay to follow ideas, but make sure that those ideas are aligned with who you are. Yeah. Because when you start chasing ideas that are, one, chasing, but two, that are not even aligned with who your DNA is, that's just a recipe for disaster. And I see that's where a lot of people get in trouble, is they like the idea because it sounds cool, but it doesn't match up with who they are. So one, they're not going to be successful in it because they don't have the right proper fundamentals and principles built in internally to make it happen.
I love it, guys. Again, we're not even on the same page. We're on the same sentence with how we view things. Steve, my partner, recently said, you know, everything looks like an opportunity without a plan. And and I think that you guys hit the nail on the head as far as shiny object syndrome. When I see people getting distracted and they're chasing this and that, it's evidence that they're just not clear. They don't have that clarity. And I like the fact that you guys leverage tools like DISC and some other things to really hone in on what's best for you, right? Because we all have talents that God's given us. We all have a unique ability. And I truly believe it's people's responsibility to discover what those God-given gifts and talents are and then multiply those, like double down, triple down on that versus trying to work on the weaknesses, et cetera. I want to kind of transition here because we talked a little bit about, you know, briefly about infinite banking and the fact that, you know, Russ, you gave Joey a book about infinite banking, and that was like the catalyst to then Joey like start to kind of go down this road. Talk to us, explain infinite banking to me and to the audience as if I'm a 6-year-old and I have just never even heard about what this concept is.
Well, and I've been asked that 100 times, and I apologize in advance if I complicate the simple, Alex, on this. The reality is that we give our money to banks, mm-hmm, and we call those deposits. And then the bank stores that cash, and in order to give us some return on it and in the form of interest, they have to put it to work. And banks lend money, right? That's the way they do.
So they make money.
And a lot of times we, as business owners, we make money and so we deposit it into the bank and we want to keep it there. So when payroll comes and the regular operating expenses and rents are due, we have access to it. But there's also another section of the bank that Joe used to work in where when we need to buy things, maybe for our business or for homes or cars, we go and borrow money, right? And so that's how the banks are making money. They're making these loans. Well, the concept of infinite banking is really saying, well, as investors, as business owners, we deposit money all the time. We build up this reservoir of cash. But a lot of times, instead of using that reservoir for the needs of our business and our personal lives, we end up using the bank's money and borrowing from it. And so infinite banking is really about putting those two things together and using a tool, one of the oldest financial tools, which is a dividend paying life insurance contract, as the place in which we store our deposits and we make the loans from. And to me, when I saw this on the very basic level, I realized that it was so true, right? Most of my clients were successful business people, and they all had loans and lines of credits for personal and business things, but they had tons of cash and tons of investments. It just wasn't in places that they could access. And so that's why they went and always borrowed the bank's money. And the thought was, well, if my cash over here is earning more than what it costs to borrow, then I'm good. And in some cases, that's true. But what I also realized is that because they didn't have access to the money, they really didn't have the choice. They always needed it. And we were actually just meeting with an investor, entrepreneur a second ago, whose business actually unfortunately failed in January of this year. And it was because he was scaling. He had doubled and tripled his business over a short period of time. Things seemed to be going well, but his bookkeeper wasn't doing a good job of helping him understand the margins of the business that he was running. And it got to a point where the expense of running it, he didn't have enough cash in the account. And he went to the bank and he said, hey, look, you know, I'm going to need to increase my line of credit for the next 6 months to be able to help kind of work out some of the details. I had to get rid of a project manager, and I'm just going to need a little time to iron out the details. Well, what do you think the bank did? They didn't extend his line of credit. They capped his line of credit.
Frozen.
And he immediately was out of business because his business operated off of that. Yeah. And so what infinite banking is not only a mindset of how we should manage our own cash, but it's about putting our cash in a place that we can control. I mean, the financial golden rule is those who have the gold make the rules.
Right.
And so what Joey and I have done, and what I taught him early on, and he's been a great steward and student and now teacher of it, is that we build our capital in cash in these insurance contracts with super high cash values, just like the banks that Joey used to work for. And then we use those dollars as leverage or as collateral, and we leverage those dollars from the insurance company for lines of credit for our business and for our investments. And so we now get to control those two avenues. Now, of course, most people are like, well, Russ, you know, I have millions and millions of dollars of loans out there. I don't have that amount of cash just stored up, right? Like that doesn't seem realistic. And for some people, it's a process. You know, I've been on this journey now for almost 11 years, and I'm still about 80% of the way there. So I'm not still 100%. I don't have 100% of all the business and personal, you know, loans and stuff running through my system, but I'm 70 or 80% there. Yeah. I mean, this is, where would you want to be? And that's, I don't know if that's simple, but that's the way I look at it.
Well, and I can give a stab at it too, Alex, but one thing I wanted to offer is a lot of people have questions that can't be answered in just a podcast interview. And so I would love to just invite anybody from your show, that your audience that's interested. We've set up a specific way that they can access our community, and therefore they can even take the Infinite Banking 101 course that we have in there. It's totally free, and it goes as deep as you want to go, right? So get in the weeds and all that. But so just go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/flipempire if you want to join that community for free and also be able to access this information on Infinite Banking. But if I could simplify it, basically, here's the deal. You're going to save money somewhere. Uh-huh. It's either going to be in a checking or savings account, or it's going to be in a cash value life insurance policy designed the way that we're taught here in this infinite banking concept. That money is then going to be leveraged into whatever investment vehicle, whether it be any of these passive income ideas that we have in our community or on our show. We're talking about short-term rentals, e-commerce, long-term rentals. We're talking about land flipping. I mean, you name it. We cover all those different things. But you're going to have a base or a warehouse to leverage into these things. And the only reason why we use a life insurance policy instead of a cash, like a checking account, is because we want it to have more benefits than a checking account. Okay. Simple as it can be. I get a 3-5% interest rate or rate of return on my policy. I get a death benefit. It grows tax free. And whenever I borrow against it, it continues to grow uninterrupted. So that means that.
Elaborate on that if you could.
Yeah. Okay. So think about it like equity in a house. If you have a piece of real estate and it's worth $100,000 and you owe $50,000 on it. You just bought it and you're about to burr this thing, right? Now I could go to the bank and I could get a line of credit instead for the difference. And I could say, well, give me $20,000 on a line of credit against the collateral in my house. Mm-hmm. Now that means that the house can continue to grow uninterrupted. The value of from 100,000 next year could go to 110, 120, whatever the number is, but you've got a loan against it that you've now used for whatever purpose. Maybe it's to take down another piece of real estate or whatever. In a policy, as you're depositing cash into this policy in the form of premiums, it's growing, and subsequently there's interest and dividends that are growing that, right? So mm-hmm. I can go to the insurance company and say, let's say I have $100,000 worth of cash value in my policy. I can go to them and say, hey, I want to borrow $60,000 against this $100,000. And they let me borrow their money and my $100,000 continues to grow uninterrupted.
Got it.
Okay. So it's a line of credit against my cash value. So it continues to grow just like equity in your house.
So let's use that because I love using examples. It's the only way I learn and I'm very visual. So the fact that I can't draw right now and show you is limiting to me. But Alex, so using the example he said, so we've all taken loans from a bank at some point in time. Most of us have at least. And we know that there's a long application. There's a credit score, right? We have to give them a pint of blood, rights to our firstborn, all these things. And then maybe then we may actually get the deal done. In today's environment, it's like 75 days later. Right? I mean, it is
brutal.
It is not easy. It's not a lot of fun. Well, in an insurance policy, Joey, what is the process if someone takes a loan?
So two things. One, you call them up and you say, hey, I need $60,000. And they say, what account do you want it to send it to? And that's basically it. In 3 to 5 business days, it's deposited into my bank account.
Yeah. When do you want it and what account do you want to send it to? And then also we know too, as business owners and investors, especially if we're doing flips, right? I mean, the goal is to buy the property, then do the rehab, and then turn around and flip it. Well, as soon as we can sell it, we get our cash back. But until then, like the expense of carrying the note is prohibitive in some situations. That's what makes us a little bit nervous. How long is it going to take for us to do the deal? So, because we have monthly payments that are due to either the private lender or the public lender that we've gotten the money. Right. What's the terms and on taking a loan from an insurance company?
Yeah, so the policy does not have structured repayments. So that means whenever I borrow, let's say that $60,000, they put in my account, I have no bill or anything that comes to me from that insurance company that says, hey, by the way, it's going to be $450 a month. It's literally an interest-only loan that I will pay annually if I want to. Otherwise, it rolls over to the next year. So especially if you're flipping or you're doing a lot of real estate deals, the terms on this are unheard of because I'm now in control of how quickly I repay that or not. And subsequently, I can do more deals because of that. The cash flow is not a concern.
Well, and also the last thing I would say is, as investors, we're always thinking about building wealth, but also protecting wealth. And those two things are super important. And we know the way the houses are structured. Obviously, we try our best to put these in LLCs and sometimes series LLCs to protect them and to protect other assets that we own. How are life insurance policies, how is that $100,000 that is in that policy you were just talking about a second ago, how is that protected if I did default either on the loan to the insurance company or a loan outside or had a potential creditor issue?
Well, they're both creditor proof and tax free because they meet certain criteria from the IRS code and subsequently from state and federal laws about being able to protect it from creditors. Okay. So it's a bulletproof opportunity for investors to grow and maintain wealth in their control while not limiting them from investing in what they know. That's the critical thing because most people think, well, I can either put money in a life insurance policy or I can invest in real estate. Mm-hmm. And what we're saying, infinite banking brings those two together.
It's both.
It's an and asset in the sense that I can grow my cash uninterrupted and build my rental portfolio or short-term rental business or e-commerce business, whatever it is, at the same time.
Well, and the last thing I'll add to this, Alex, and I know you probably have some questions you want to ask about it, but it is from the perspective of, I always came, you know, that my financial brain always kicks in and thinks opportunity costs. Like, what is the trade-off to every decision that I make? And that was, you know, my mind thinks in spreadsheets. I spent 4 hours today in spreadsheets. That's just the way I work, right?
You literally plucked one of the questions out of my head. So go ahead.
Yeah. So I think spreadsheets. I think opportunity costs. And I think about real estate investors, how much cash flow do we constantly have coming at us? And then how long does it sit? How long does it sit idle in our checking accounts and savings accounts that we have? We think it's a good thing. We get that warm and fuzzy feeling when we wake up in the morning and we type in our I don't know if you guys are like me, but you type in the numbers on your account and you want to see that balance. You want to know you're comfortable, right? But that money's sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah.
And over our lifetime, there is a lot of flow of cash that comes through our hands that sit idle that we're not getting paid on. But when we do deploy it, man, we have some amazing results. We have amazing returns because we understand the investment. We understand the real estate. We understand how we're putting it to work. But then when we do good with it, it comes back with friends. And what does it do? It goes and takes a nap inside the bank, right? And it doesn't do anything for us. And that was one of the coolest things when I learned about this and I started sharing it with real estate investors. I started showing the efficiencies and the improvement on the cash as it was sitting. Right. As it was there and it's still available to us. I can pull up my accounts. I can see I have 24 of these whole life policies. You may think I'm weird, but I have 24 of these.
24
I can
four of these policies.
Yeah. I can see how much cash value I have total. I can see how much money I have borrowed against them. And I know where those dollars are, but I never have to worry about that cash taking a complete nap. Right. I mean, it may be taking a snooze because it's only like, as Joey said, it's only earning 3 or 4%. But compare that to zero and compare that for the amount of time that cash comes in our accounts and is there. It may not be there for long periods of time, but the number of days and the average balance. I mean, you know, our bank accounts will tell us, you can pull up your statement. They'll tell you what the average ledger balance is. That's basically telling you what was the balance. It was sitting there in an account on average throughout the month. That's and right. You multiply that over your life, man, there's a lot of dollars just taking a complete siesta. And we look at that and say, man, there's opportunity.
Well, and give you this one really short, quick, practical thing. Russ talks about this on our show a good bit. And we've covered this in some of our inner circle videos that we've done. But one of the policies he has is over 10 years old. And last year he put in a dollar and it kicked off more than $2. In terms of the growth on that policy. And we think back and we say, well, that's really impressive. But the most impressive thing is he's been able to use it the entire time. It wasn't like it was locked up for those 10 years and he couldn't touch it and subsequently it grew. He's been able to use it over and over again, like a line of credit, like we're talking about, but the cash itself doubled this particular year and it will only get better from here. Like that, if you compare that to your checking account that you're doing deals out of, it will never do that. Your checking account is guaranteed to never double like that in just the internal growth on that policy.
And so, I'm curious, guys, is the reason like, so, you know, Russ, you shared how you have 24, 25 policies. Is the reason because you're leveraging this life insurance account for your personal accounts and your business accounts?
It is. And one of the reasons I have so many, and I'll tell the simple story. So what you're talking about is like a six-year-old. So when I was six, for some reason, I got infatuated with collecting pennies. And I don't mean like collector, like, you know, like 1925 pennies, you know, that'll work a lot. I'm just talking about a penny. Like if I saw a penny, I picked it up and I put it in a little bitty like mason jar. And when I had enough where I could only screw the top on it, I couldn't get any more in there. What did I have to do, Alex? When I had another penny,
you had to get a bigger one, right?
I had to get a bigger one or another one, right? Yep. And so literally when I moved out of my house to go to college, on the top shelf in my closet was like 25 of these different size penny jars, right? It was like worth like $42 or something. It was nothing.
And it probably weighed like 300 pounds, but go ahead.
I mean, I think my dad had come in there and like reinforce it with like extra 2x4s to keep the thing. upside down. But but the point is that when I filled it up, I had to get another one. And the way that we design these insurance policies, and none of this is our own thinking. So Joey worked at Wells Fargo Bank. You can actually, if you go to FDIC.gov, you can type in industry analysis and you can actually look at every single bank in the U.S. and you can see their balance sheet. Most people don't know they can do this. But I was shown this by a guy and he said, here's Wells Fargo Bank. Pull it up. And here's how much money they have in cash value life insurance as of the last quarter that they reported. And I looked at this the other day and it was a little over $18 billion. That's a B.
Wow.
In cash. That's how much cash the Bank of Wells Fargo has. By the way, they're all the real estate that they own, all the bank branches that that Wells Fargo owns is about half of that. To give you some context to see what how they think about money. But it makes sense, right? Their business is turning money over. Their inventory, like a grocery store's inventory, is food on the shelf. Bank's inventory is cash. They need cash available, and that's what they do. They shove it in here. And so I was like, well, man, it makes so much sense if they're going to do that. So what I learned is that when I design these policies, I design it with how much cash I have available to put in it for an ongoing period. Mm-hmm. Well, as you might imagine, over the last 10, 11 years, I've had, especially making money in my primary business, but also the amount of deals we've been doing and investing. You know, if you buy a house and you flip it and you make 25 grand, well, you got 25,000 more than you had when you started, right? Mm-hmm. It's got to go somewhere. And so all of that extra made me have to expand my system, get a new jar, if you will, for the cash to go. And that's ultimately why I have so many policies.
Got it. So there is a limit to these, what the deposit, how much you can put in deposits inside of each these life insurance policies, essentially?
Yeah. So each one, because we're trying to maximize the cash value, but we're also there are some guidelines. Guess what? The government's concerned about how much money you put in life insurance.
Okay.
You know why? Because it affects how much income they get. They're taxed. They don't get taxes from this.
Makes
so
sense.
You have to design it up to this kind of magical tax line. They call it the MEC line. And so you can only design it to hold so much from day one. So if you start getting more and more, you got to now take out that second penny jar and start a new one because the first one can't hold anymore.
Yeah, I always tell people, like, you know, again, when my wife and I got married, it was two of us and she had a two-door Honda Civic, right? I could tell you a third person did not want to get in it because you were going to have to like basically fold into that thing. Now she drives a Ford Expedition, third row, you know, like we are the longest thing.
Very spacious.
Yeah. And the reason is we have six kids, right? And we have luggage. So when we design these insurance policies, we start them out as a two-door Civic to hold whatever you have your needs are that day. But as your income grows, as your wealth grows, every single time we need to keep expanding it to hold what it is. You know, we didn't move straight from two-door Civic to Expedition, right? We made a gradual growth in there. It was an Accord in there. There was an Explorer in there.
I hear that. I get it.
Slowly started happening. And the same thing's true with our money. We design it so that it's the most efficient for what we have at that point. And then we grow it as time and the money needs for it.
By the way, we started this show and Russ only had four kids. Now all of a sudden he's got six kids. I don't know what happened there.
I said family of six, right?
You said six kids. Oh, I'm like, sorry. Dang.
Well, truthfully, my wife and I are in the Flip Empire show. And all of a sudden you just start popping out kids and you don't realize it. I'm about to scare the audience away now. So. So no, guys, this has been awesome. So here's what I want to do. For those of you who might be watching this or listening to this, head over to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/flipempire. You guys can actually take, which by the way, guys, really appreciate it. You guys can take the course for free, go a lot deeper than what we're able to cover on this podcast episode about infinite banking concepts. Here's one last question I have for you guys, and then we'll kind of start to wrap up. And I want to make sure people know that where they can connect with you guys and plug into your podcast, Wealth Without Wall Street. Are there any downsides to the infinite banking concept? Like what's the negative? Because it just seems like it's a no-brainer to go down this route. I'm curious if you guys would say, hey, look, here's the downside or here's the negatives that we've encountered, if any.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, again, one of the things I would say is obviously Joey and I are huge advocates for multiple reasons. One, we've been doing this long enough personally to see its benefits. Two, we do sell life insurance as a company. So there's some self-interest there. But putting that to the side, the biggest downside of this, Alex, and this is what I talk about on the very front end when we're coaching clients, is this is thinking long-term. And a lot of times we've been trained for instant gratification. And so for people who start this and that first year they put a dollar in, they've got access to about 60 to 70 cents of that dollar because they've got to start this insurance business. They got to start this banking business. And for some people, they can't give up. They're literally spending 99 cents of every dollar that comes in, right? There is no left over. And so they're like, well, I can't do this because I need every dollar. And that's, I always tell them, in that situation, one, we need to work on getting your finances fixed, yeah, right? And then from that point forward, but we got to think about it long term. This is not a short term, get rich quick concept. This is literally the add on for the rest of our life. And it's going to make a difference regardless if we live 5 years or we live 100. But the reality is that you got to have cash. You got to have available dollars that you're not spending 100% of, because it's going to take the first 3 or 4 years to get this business up and running to a point where when you put a dollar in, you get access to a dollar. Now, like Joey said, I've got an account that's 10 years old. I put in a dollar, I get access to $2. That's a pretty stinking cool thing. That allows me to buy
two. Sign me up for that all day.
Yeah, that allows me to buy two properties to someone else's one property, right? I really make up ground in that situation, but you got to be willing to go through that hard work and the saving factor, in essence, that's happening in those first 3 to 5 years.
And the only other thing I would say that's a negative is if you can't be the one that goes against the flow, then this isn't for you. Okay, now I don't think your audience is that way. Otherwise, they wouldn't be listening to this, because you are about creating a lifestyle that is unlike 99% of Americans or people in the world.
That's right.
They've allowed their life to design them and not the alternative. So, but there are people that will hear noise, like the Dave Ramseys of the world would tell you whole life insurance is a terrible place to put money. Do you think Dave Ramsey is talking about it from this perspective?
No,
okay. Not in a million years. He's
completely
talking
about a different audience as well.
Yeah. He's literally talking about it being the investment. And we all know, as we've been talking about this whole time, this is just the warehouse that we're going to deploy into our investments. Mm-hmm. And it's going to give us a whole lot more benefit. So if you can't be the guy at the water cooler that is willing to talk about something that's a little bit different than everybody else, then you probably don't need to start on this, because you're probably going to lose faith in it and you're going to cancel it. You would have done better to just stick money in your sock drawer, you know? Sure. So sure. That's a reality that sometimes we run across.
That's really good. And I like the way that you guys kind of framed it, where this is a long-term play. You have to have the right mindset going into this thing.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're the type of person that you need every single dollar to live on that you make, then to your point, Russ, there's probably some work that has to get done before you even start to take advantage of infinite banking and go down this route. So
no doubt.
That's really good. I'm glad that we gave it its proper kind of context and framework for those people that might be listening to this saying, this sounds like a no-brainer. I want to kind of dive in. So I'm glad that we were able to talk about that. So again, guys, head over to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/flipempire. I don't get anything for this. I don't want anything for this. I just want you guys to get educated. And if you feel this is a strategy that can really help you and amplify, you know, the wealth building process so that you can achieve that financial freedom, then I'm all for it and I co-sign on it. So gentlemen, before we wrap up here, how do people connect with you guys? If you want to maybe talk a minute or two about your podcast, Wealth Without Wall Street, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Alex, for this. Been a lot of fun. You've asked a lot of amazing questions. Joey and I could take a lot of pointers from your interview skills that we don't necessarily possess as well on our own show, but we do have a show. We do two shows a week. Actually, a Tuesday show is focused on infinite banking. We call it the round table. We have all our coaches who do this. Joey and I meet with a handful of clients, but we have a lot of coaches that are ones really able to meet the needs of people who are seeking this all over the country. And we talk about infinite banking. On Thursdays is a show in which we're really going deeper with different entrepreneurs and learning more about how people are creating passive income on their road to financial freedom. And we've been doing doing it not quite as long as you. We started a little over 3 years ago, and we're 150 to 175 shows in, and, awesome. And we've learned so many ideas and met so many cool people like yourself through this process. That's really been a huge network increaser for us. And that is what's, you know, we use that. And when you say, how do people connect with us? I would say one, the wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/flipempire. Not only could you take the Infinite Banking 101 course, but also you can go in there and private message either Joey or I. And I hope you do. I hope you'll say, hey, heard you guys on Flip Empire. What's up? You know, and like one of us will totally respond. It's like a notification, just like any other social media app.
Yeah.
But it allows us to connect with people on a one-on-one basis. But then also all of our guests that we have on our podcast go on to that, and they're able to do and connect with those people on a one-on-one level as well.
Yeah,
guys. Go ahead, Joey.
That's the best place to get us because we're literally texting people through the app. That's the easiest way for us to stay connected and not be distracted with the Facebooks and the Instagrams of the world. Nothing wrong with them, but that's why we created the app, so we could really have focused time with those that are on the same journey with us.
Well, gentlemen, it's been number one, awesome having you in the show. I'm so glad that our paths crossed at this event, and that, you know, we got to kind of speak back to back, and we got to talk a little bit after, and here we are a month later, and you guys are on the show and just, you know, sharing a concept that, you know, we're nearing almost 500 episodes and we've never talked about infinite banking, right? And wow. So I'm grateful for you guys, and it's clearly a powerful strategy for the right person if you have the right mindset. And so you know, I look forward to continuing to grow with you guys. I appreciate everything you're doing with the podcast and with the community and your app. So man, just grateful for you guys to hop on and share your wisdom and knowledge.
But we need to have you on our show for sure. And we'd love to, even if you want us to come back and talk about some of the things we are doing in the real estate space. Personally, we're an open book. We do our passive income report every month so people can hear legitimate numbers, good, bad, or indifferent. And so, yeah, we'd love to share that with your audience at some point too, if you want to have us back.
Absolutely. In fact, I was listening to the September podcast, the income report, and I know it's one of your most downloaded shows, the one that you do every month. So very cool. I definitely encourage you guys to check out the podcast, Wealth Without Wall Street. Very cool what these guys are doing. And by the way, hats off to you, because I know the time, effort, and energy it takes to stay consistent with the podcast. And the fact that you guys are putting out two shows a week is just a testament to everything you guys are doing in the space and how many people you're helping. So really, really just want to acknowledge you and appreciate you guys for that.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having us on the show, Alex. It's a huge pleasure.
Absolutely. My friends, as we wrap up, you've heard me talk before about speed of implementation. You know, we all have 24 hours in a day. It's how we use that time. And it's the fact that you've taken this hour or so to invest with us. The way that you can repay us is by taking something you've heard or learned or something that kind of sparked an interest and take it a step further and speed of implementation. So if there's anything I can do for you, just let me know. You know, that's why I'm here. And Joey, Russ, appreciate you guys. I know we'll be in contact. Would love to be on the show. And just thanks again for sharing, guys. So I will connect with you on the next one. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.